Welcome to the Bridge Community Church. Pastor Todd Williams begins a new series on the power of prayer by helping us see how prayer is important to creating the unity in community. This service on October 6th, 2019 was highlighted by the sharing of a special time of prayer and communion.
Death, where is thy sting? The curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb stands open, come and see.
Thank you. This will be our first communion service together. Like all of us together. In September, we had two communion services. One here for the people who attended Bridge Church and one at Green Hill School for the one who attended the Valley Bristol campus. And this will be our first time doing communion together, which is kind of amazing. You know, just amazing. I mean, I am so blessed. My heart is so touched when I look around. And when I think about what is God doing? And I know we can all think about things and probably have certain things get under our skin. And one of the things that I've been just really touched with is how much grace and how much trust you've been giving to me and to us who are making decisions. And we know we're not getting everything right, but you just give us so much grace and trust, and I just thank you. I want to honor you for that. And I just really, my heart is touched, because when you try to bring two distinct groups together, it could be a disaster, right? It could be a disaster. And it would be if you weren't so honoring and so gracious. And so thank you. And I just pray, keep it coming. And if something gets under your skin, please just talk to us about it. You know, if something's bothering you, it doesn't mean you're not being gracious. You are being gracious. But we want to fix things. And so if there's a wrinkle and you say, hey, this kind of, or the focusing, whatever it is, then just bring it up. We would love to do that. In fact, in that vein, in 2 weeks, we'd like to just have a meeting after the service. So that I think that's the 20th, October 20th. We'd like to have a meeting just to answer any questions, to bring if you have any concerns, or if you want to celebrate something and you have a positive, a blessing, a testimony you want to share with us. We'd love to hear that. And, you know, when I first, my whole life I've lived here. In my office, you'll see a paper bag, and it was Bristol Press. And I was the honor paper boy for 1 month. So I got this special bag they gave me. But it'll say right on there, the Bristol Press. I've had a heart for this area my whole life. My whole life. I live in Wookett, but it's just a stone's throw really from the Bristol line. And I've had a heart for the Wookett-Bristol area my entire life. And it's where I've lived my whole life. Legally, I've never changed my address. Legally, I've lived at 20 Averill Avenue since the day I was born. I mean, that's my legal address. For 10 years, I lived in Indianapolis, but I never legally changed my address because my heart was always here. And so then I think, well, what is God doing? What is God doing? And I think I know what he's doing. I think. And I think you'll feel this as I talk about it. You're already feeling the same thing. Whenever God wants to do a powerful work in an area, he brings his body together in unity. He does. You look at John 17, and Jesus is praying that we would be one. He says that the world may know that I have come from the Father and will believe. So the world will believe when we're united. Our unity translates into faith in the hearts of people who aren't here yet. And I say yet on purpose. That's a powerful word, right? Never say somebody doesn't know Jesus. Say they don't know Jesus yet, right? Because you're going to be praying for them. But whenever God wants to do a work in an area, he brings his body together in unity. And whenever there's a revival, he does that. And he consolidates vision and he consolidates mission and he activates people powerfully. Because he works through his body. And so I believe what God is doing is he wants to do a powerful work in Bristol and in the surrounding areas. And I believe he's bringing us together so that we can do it. Just so that we can do it. You know, it says in Ephesians that he gives apostles, and that's a Greek word. The Latin word is missionary. The English word is sent out one. So he gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the entertaining of the saints. No, he doesn't say that. No, he doesn't say that. I misquoted. He gives apostles and prophets and evangelists, right, and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry. See, my job is not to be in ministry. My job is to equip you for ministry, right? So people call me, a minister. No, I'm not the minister. You're the minister. My job is God has given my role and others for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So yours is the work of the ministry. And what I think God wants to do, and this is what we're going to pray into over the next few months, is equipping by his Holy Spirit, equipping for the work of the ministry he's wanting to do in Bristol and the surrounding areas. And I hope as we go through this, you'll dedicate your lives to this, that you'll dedicate your homes. I think each of our homes needs to become a mini church where we worship there and we invite our neighbors to come and worship. The dedication of our lives, of our homes, of everything we are for the work that God wants to do. You know, the Bible talks about two analogies for a work of God. One is the harvest, and the other is giving birth, when a woman gives birth, right? And so we call it born again, or we call it the harvest. And you look at the similarities between those two. One is, you know it's close, but you never know exactly when it's going to happen. I've had 5 kids. I wish I could schedule it. Right? Never knew, though, when it was going to happen. But you knew it was getting close. And I believe that the church is 9 months pregnant. I believe in Bristol, we're really close. The harvest is right there. You know, in the harvest time, you'd have the master husbandman who'd be the grape tester. And he would test the grapes for the perfect time when they were ready to make wine out of it. And because he wanted to get it right on the right day. Too early or too late, and it wouldn't be as ideal. So you'd want to get just the right day. And he tested every morning when it was close. Second thing is, when it was time, everybody got involved, right? Everybody got involved. When the harvest came, the whole village kind of, and same with labor. It's like everybody is like, oh, okay, life stops, right? I could be right here preaching, right? Whatever time it is, 11:30, and if my wife went into labor, it wouldn't be like, okay, honey, I'll get you to the hospital in 30 minutes at 12 when I'm done my message. No, it'd be like, hey, guys, see you later. I got to go now, and I'd be gone, right? Life would stop. That's the second similarity. When the master husbandman said, today is the day, life in the village would stop, and everyone would bring in the harvest. When my wife says, it's happening now, doesn't matter what I'm doing, life stops, and we bring in new life. And then the third similarity between the two is they call it labor. They call it labor. And I just want you to know, because I believe it's going to happen, but it's going to take work. It's going to take every one of us having a job, a role. Man, woman, child, it's going to be work. But the work will be worth it, because the work is what brings in the harvest. There's so much joy when the harvest brought in that the whole village would celebrate. Same with a new life, right? When the baby finally is born and you hold that baby in your arms and you don't remember the pain, you don't remember the work, it's just the joy. That's not even my message. That's a freebie. You're going to get 2 for the price of 1 today. That was the first one. All right. No. I don't even know how I got off on that, except to say this. I believe God is going to do powerful things. And so in 2 weeks, we want to have a meeting because, listen, Satan's going to try to stop it. And we have to be dedicated to not letting that happen. And communication is such a key. So let's communicate. All right? Let's just communicate. And let's build each other up. And let's support this, what God wants to do. I've had a few people come and they said, I've prayed and I know that I'm all in. I want to join. I want to be a part of this. And so during that meeting also we'll accept new members. And if you were, no pressure. If you're not ready to make this decision, then please wait and tell me. We'll do it again another time. It's no pressure. No pressure. But if you know you've already heard from God and you want to obey that and jump in, then we just want to make that available. All right? So we're not pushing it, but just make it available. If you are a member at Valley and you say, well, I want to be a part of this, we've been talking. We're kind of like sister churches. It's not going to be a problem. And so just meet with any of the deacons, or Michelle can give you the kind of, we have a little thing that just talks about our mission, our covenant, our statement of faith, and make sure, you know. But if you are a member at Valley, then we trust their process. And if you want to, you can just join at that time. Or you can wait for some other time in the future. Again, no pressure. But if you felt you heard from God and you want to do that, we wanted to make that available to you. Just talk to Michelle or Kyle or any of our deacons. And then so at that meeting, we'll do that and we'll answer questions. If you have anything positive, we want to hear from you. Negative, we want to hear that from you too. And see what we can do to keep what God is doing and to keep it moving forward. Because I believe God is wanting to do something powerful. Very, very powerful. And we want to be ready for it. And so that's going to go into my message series here in October. Because I think the key to what God wants to do is going to be prayer and our unity. So I'm glad we're taking communion together. And let's power prayer. Wow. You guys are so good back there. Wow. All right. So we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to go really short. This is the laugh line. I'm going to go really short. I really am. We're going to just, it's not going to be our normal message points. We're going to talk through some scripture verses. And then we're going to do it. We're going to do what I'm talking about. And I want to give you a chance to actually do it. Because it's so powerful. And we got to break the ice on what, some of you, you've already been doing this. So you'll be great at it. If you haven't, you're going to be amazed at what God does. So we're going to do a quick Bible study on several passages, tie it all together, and then do it. So the first passage is in James chapter 2, verse 23. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And here's the point. And he was called God's friend. Abraham was called God's friend. Abraham was the friend of God. Think about what that means. What does it mean to be somebody's friend? The Bible does not use this word friendship lightly. When the Bible uses this word friendship, it means something very serious and profound. It means intimate friendship. Intimate friendship. And it's important we understand this. It's like sharing your dreams, your heart, your fears, your concerns, like that kind of friendship. All right? It's the friendship of sharing resources. You know, you have certain friends, they have to call and make an appointment. If they come to your house or you go to their house, you call them. Other friends, they just show up and they knock on the door. And yet other friends, they don't even knock. They just walk right in. Right? Right? Yeah, you guys that way. Yeah, you just walk right in. Yeah. It's that level of friendship we have with God, or that Abraham had with God. That's what it's talking about. You don't make an appointment. You don't have to knock on the door. You can just walk right in. And that's the kind of friendship Abraham had with God. Let's go to the next verse. Let's look at what that means. In Genesis chapter 18, 17, Jesus showed up with two angels. So three strangers to Abraham, and he saw them, and he kind of sensed something. He says, I want you to have a meal. So he brings them some soured milk. That's yogurt. And he gets some goat milk, and they're sitting. That's when they say, your wife will have a baby in a year, and Sarah laughs. And they said, why'd you laugh? She said, well, I didn't laugh. And he said, yeah, you laughed, and so you're going to name your son Laughter. Isaac means laughter, right, as a reminder. All right, And that wasn't a punishment. It was like a prophecy that she was going to bring her laughter. She was going to give her joy. All right. And then he said to Abraham, he's about to leave. And while he's about to leave, he says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Friendship. Abraham was the friend of God. What does friendship look like? God doesn't hide from you the things he's going to do, that he's about to do. Not the things he's necessarily done or is doing, but the things he's about to do. Will I hide from Abraham? He's my friend. The answer is no, and he goes on to talk to Abraham about the things he was going to do. All right? Which was having to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's where Abraham bargains with God. Well, if there's 50 righteous, if there's, you know, all the way down to, if there's 10 righteous. But here's the point. Abraham was the friend of God. Because he was the friend of God, God says, I'm not going to hide from him the things I'm going to do. Because friends like to talk with their friends, right? They like to share. God loves to share the things he's thinking about and the plans he has with you and me, if we're his friend. We are his friend. We'll get to that in a minute. But God wants to share them, just like he did with Abraham. All right, so Abraham is God's friend, and because he was God's friend, God says, I'm going to share with him the things I want to do. We're going to read a verse in a minute that talks about we're God's friends. You are God's friends. Same thing. God says, I don't want to hide from you. I want to share with you the things that I want to do. All right, let's look at the next verse. Jeremiah 29:11. What are those things? Well, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God says, I know what I want to do. I have plans for you. And so I want to share. You're my friend. I want to share my plans for you. And notice they're not negative plans, because God's not a negative God. They're positive plans. Plans of things. I want to share with you things that will prosper you, give you a hope and a future. Now I want to just segue off of this, because it's easy for us to be thinking about this verse for us personally. And I often read it that way. I read this verse like God has plans for me, and he wants to share those plans with me. And that's absolutely true. What's also true is God has plans for Craig. Plans to give him prosperity and a future and a hope. And he wants to share those plans with me and with Craig. He wants to share them with me and with Craig. You know, it's almost like, well, a couple years ago, I bought a computer. And sometime later, 6 months later, I forget exactly, I wanted a certain program. Well, it turned out, and I didn't know this, the computer had already had that program downloaded onto it when I bought it. It was cool, but I needed an activation key, right? And it was this long, you know, with numbers and letters and all these characters, you know. If I had the right activation key, the program's already there. You know, I've found so many times in my life that God downloads his programs into my life, but they need to be activated, and he usually activates them through a declaration from somebody else. And somehow that declaration unites with, oh yeah, I felt that too. I felt God downloading that in me. But when you declared it, it's just like all of a sudden everything clicked into place and now I have the program. It didn't cost me anything. It just required, because God already downloaded it. It just needed you to declare it. And so sometimes God will download a program into Craig and then he'll share that thought with me. So that if I will talk about it, Craig, I just feel God telling me, bum, 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 about you. About the plans God has for his future, to bring him prosperity and hope. That all of a sudden, Craig's like, I felt that 6 months ago. Or I felt that yesterday or this morning. Or my wife and I were talking about that. And now his faith suddenly rises. And it's not so much my declaration as the rise of his faith that activates the program in his life that God was doing. All right, let's go on to the next one. John 15:15. I said I would tell, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything Say that with me. Everything. That was half of you. Other half, please say it so we can, you're holding us back. Everything. One more time. Everything. Thank you. Instead, I called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So does that include the plans God has for me? Yeah. Does it include the plans God has for Craig? Yes. Everything is everything. He says, the servant doesn't know his master's business. I have to look back. I memorized this in another version. So anyway, servant doesn't know his master's business. God does not want you not knowing the business of the kingdom. I know there was a double negative in that. You can figure it out. God wants you to know his business. It's important to God. It's crucial to God that you know his business. And this is why, if you don't know business, you can do what he told you, but you won't know why. At a heart level, your heart won't be in it, can't be in it, because you don't know why. Out of obedience and you're surrendered, you'll do it. Because God told you to do it, you'll do it. But you won't know the heart level at it. God wants to share his heart with you. He wants you to know why he's asking you to do things. He doesn't want you to just do them. He wants to show you his ways. He wants you to get it because that raises your maturity. It's all about relationship with God. He wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to know his heart and understand his heart. He says, if you're just a servant, you won't understand my business. But I call you friends because everything that I know I've revealed to you so that you'll understand the business of the kingdom. So that includes me and includes Craig and includes, right? Includes all of us. Now remember, go back to, I know the plans I have for you. If the things you feel God is revealing are highly condemning and critical, well, that's not a prosperity, future, and hope. Probably it's not from God. Sometimes we have a problem discerning the voice of God with the voice of our flesh, the voice of Satan, because he comes as an angel of light. All right? But this is how you know. You know them by your fruits, Jesus said. The fruits from God are always positive, encouraging, and building up. Let's go on to the next one. This just reinforces 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 3. And we all know 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter, right? All talking about love. And now these three things remain. It ends up faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The very next verse, we're the ones as humans later on who added chapters and verses. So the very next theme in the letter that was being written was follow the way of love. And eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. All right, so let's tie this up. Abraham was God's friend. Because he was God's friend, God says, I'm not going to hold anything back from Abraham. I'm going to tell him the plans I have. Now, God has plans for all of us, right? For a future, for prosperity and a hope. And we're all his friends. He says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. So God wants to share plans. And here's the plans. The word they use in the Bible when God does that, when God shares his plans, they call that prophecy, right? Whenever God shares something that's going to be in the future, which is his plans, that's always future, well, they call that prophecy. The revelation of what God wants to do. They call that prophecy. It's not a freaky word, right? It's all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. There's prophecy. And we're told in the New Testament that one of the most powerful ways we can love each other in the body of Christ is through specifically the gift of prophecy. He says, in fact, that's the most powerful gift. And the reason is because the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, because those are the three things on the heart of God for every person here. God wants every person here to be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. Those are the three most important things of God's heart for all of us. Okay, so what's the practical? How does this work? I've been picking on Craig, so I'll keep picking on him. I say, God, what are your plans for Craig? What do you want him to know? And I try to listen. And what I sense from God, I know it's from God if it's in those three categories, if it's going to strengthen him, encourage him, or comfort him. If it's not, it's probably not from God. Possibly could be, but probably not. At least to begin with. So I start with just those three, because those three are highlighted by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And I say, oh, then I look for a chance to share it with Craig. Why is it important to share with Craig? Well, we have one more verse. Let's look at that last verse. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Your word. When God shares a word to me about God, his plans for Craig, it becomes a light. Right? When I don't share the light, the people around me lose their hope. Right? If you're left in darkness, you lose your hope. By the way, that goes to the whole world around us. When Christians, when the church does not share their light, the world loses its hope. Right? Now, I'm not elevating the things God shares with me to the level of Scripture. Let me be clear about that. Scripture is Scripture, and no one adds to it or takes away from it, and it is always inspired by God. And yet God wants to talk. That's why we pray. God loves to share his heart. And it's not just Craig, it's Kyle and Michelle, and it's Brad, and it's John, and it's all these. God, what are you wanting me to know? What are your plans for him? How can I encourage, strengthen, and comfort? Well, how do you want to do that in their life? And how do I just declare that and speak it and see what happens? You know, what happens is we build each other up. When we strengthen and encourage each other and comfort each other, then comfort brings healing. Strength is strength, right? We're stronger. We're able to do things. You know what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's talk about strengthening. It's talk about building joy. So we bring comfort and healing. We bring joy into others. It also says encourage. That's motivation. That's hope. We're able to do these things. You know, many Christians and many churches don't accomplish nearly everything God designed for them to accomplish because as a body, they've forgotten how to prophesy. They are not strengthening, comforting, and encouraging each other. So when they get hurt, they stay hurt because they're not getting healed. When there's a failure or a setback, they stay down because they're not getting strengthened and joy restored. When there's these amazing obstacles, they tend to quit because they're not getting encouraged to keep going and press through. And then the work of the, because this is so powerful, more than any other thing, Satan wants to stop this gift from being operated in the church. He does not want us to see us strengthen, comfort, and encourage each other. Because it's so powerful when we do this. So I'm going to stop talking about it and give us all a chance to do it. All right? And to do it well, what I want us to do is to get into groups of two. Right? There could be one group of three, right? Because that's the way math works. If there's two groups of three, then there should be three groups of two. Think about it. I want everyone to get into groups of two with somebody you don't know really well, all right? Somebody you don't know really well. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and when I do, put up this question. I want you to ask God, what is this person's strengths? And I want you to listen to what God might say. And just be led of the Lord. Now remember, strengthening, encouraging, comfort needs to be in one of those three categories. All right? What are this person's strengths? And ask God. And you start off by saying, you know, I don't know you really well, but I feel like God is saying. And just share with them. And this is why it's key you don't know the person well, because then it'll be obvious that it's from God, right? If you know them well, you know their strengths. But if you don't know them well, you don't know their strengths. And we're all strangers to each other. This is a great way to, one of the best icebreakers for relationships I know. God, what is this person's strengths? All right? So get into groups of two with somebody you don't know, somebody close to you. We don't want to take all day here. Come on. Here we go. Sure. All right. Get in a group of two. Now, I'm going to pray. And then when I pray, you're going to pray and ask God this question. All right? Here we go. Father, I pray. Everybody's talking. That's great. All right. Father, I pray now. I just pray, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. We invite you, God. We invite your presence, God. And I just pray that you would, in a supernatural way, reveal your plans, your heart, for the people we're paired up with. I just pray that you would do this, God. And so in the name of Jesus, because I know from your word, we release what you call here in 1 Corinthians 14, we release the spirit of prophecy. This supernatural ability by the Holy Spirit to hear from you, God, your plans for somebody else, the hope and the future, the prosperity, the encouragement, the comfort you want to give, the strengthening you want to give. And we release it in Jesus' name. And we ask you to honor this, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Community Church. At the Bridge, we believe that God's power is released in us through prayer and in community. We would love to help you build a bridge to Jesus. You can call us at 860-583-8352, visit us on the web at bridgetochrist.com, or worship with us at 43 School Street in Bristol, Connecticut. Our Sunday worship starts at 10:30 a.m. Join us as we help each other build our bridge to Christ.